Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Echad Asa, the 11th Perek in the Rambam's Hilchas Ishus, the laws of marriage, which are in the Sefer Noshim. So the Rambam is continuing the theme of Kedushin, getting engaged. Then we talk about the time between the Kedushin and Nisuin, getting married, which the Rambam in the previous Perek described what exactly marriage is, Kenisa L'chuppah, and that one of the prerequisites is to have a Ksuba written, and that the Rambam continues in this Perek regarding the amounts of the Ksuba, the monies that he promises in the dowry, and also Tainis Besulim, which is his claim to go ahead and say that, oh, well, she's not what I thought she was, so that he doesn't have to pay the ksuba of a Besulim. Some of these we're going to discuss in today's Perek and Pechad Echad Aser. The Rambam is going to explain to us how much is the ksuba, the marital document of the dowry of the Besula, of a virgin, whereas that of an almana, of a widow, or a grusha, of a divorcee, a ba'ula, a woman who had already had cohabitation, or mukas eitz, if she had not didn't have besulim because of some other procedure. Begedis is a girl who is over a certain age and maturity that could affect her besulim. That of an islandess, who is a woman who is not able to have children, has a different type of development. That of a suma chereshes neshaita, a blind woman, a mentally deranged, or a deaf-mute woman. Also, if a chereshet v'katan, a deaf-mute or a mentally deranged or minor gets married to women, that of, as it applies to ger and geyaris, a woman and a man who convert. And finally, regarding tainus, that of the husband's claim of besulim, where he didn't encounter any virginity, that of the dam that comes from besulim, or the concept known as pesach besuach, where he found it open, it wasn't closed in that area, which generally is the case if she's a besulim. So the Rambam begins halacha aleph, starting off with what's the amount that are required in the ksuba. So halacha aleph says, Ram hanoisa besulim, someone gets married to a virgin, shenis almana, where either she was widowed, or shenis garsho, or she was divorced, or nechlitzo, or she had chalitza, now how is she a besula? Because im min eris in this almana, if she was widowed from just being engaged, or she was divorced, or she had chalitza done, where her husband, when she was engaged, he died without any children, she had chalitza done. So ksubasa masayim, her ksuba is still going to be 200 dinarim from her second husband, because she's still the basula. Now, vim min hanisuin, but if let's say she was widowed, divorced, chalitza from, that she was already married, then ksubasa meya, then her ksuba from a new husband is going to be only 100. The reason is to mention this is because the moment she got married to her first husband, harehi kibu'ula, really consider her as a woman who had cohabitation. Even if there's witnesses that she did not conceal herself with the first husband, or right after the chuppah, the husband died, it doesn't make a difference. We right away give her the status as that is ba'ula, the moment that she gets married. And v'chein anoisa besulim mishachres, also if someone marries a virgin that was originally a maidservant and was freed, a geyaris, or if she was a convert, a shavuya, or she was a captive that was redeemed, so im nishtacher ha-shevcha, if the maidservant was freed, v'niskar nachers, or the non-Jewish girl, if she converted, or with the other case, v'niftas ha-shavuya, if the captive was redeemed, when she was younger than 3 years old, then her ksuba is going to be 200 dinarim. Because even if, as we suspect, in her state of captivity, or when she was not Jewish, or as a maidservant, that she had bia, but those besulim, those virginity, actually comes back, as the Rambam is going to say shortly in Halacha Gimel, when it's a girl is under 3 years old. So even if there was bia, it's going to come back. But if she was older than 3 years old, then we suspect that she already had bia, and therefore we treat her as a ba'ula, and therefore ksuba is only going to be that of a ba'ula, which is that of 100 dinar. Halacha base. So Rambam explains, why for these women did the sages institute that they get only 100? Even though they're virgins. So the reason is, since the presumption is of a married woman that she's going to have bia, so that's the first case we had discussed in Halacha Aleph, and also the other cases. And we have a presumption that a maidservant and a non-Jewish woman and a woman that's taken in captivity, that they're going to have bia. So since they're fit for bia, they're a situation where in their state of captivity or as a non-Jewish woman that there's going to be bia happening, So even though in these cases we know definitively that she actually is a basula, her husband died right after the chuppah, so she's married, but there was never any bia, we know she's a basula, still, this goes into the takana. Since generally in these situations, there is a presumption that bia happened, so tiknu le'ilameya, so they instituted for these types of categories, a ksuba of 100 dinarim, bein nivalu, bein loy nivalu, whether they had bia or they didn't have. And then for all practical purposes, we treat them as if they already had cohabitation. Now halacha gimel, Mukas eats, which literally means to say that she was hit by a piece of wood, which she fell and she hit wood, and that made her besulim, the hymens, the virginity, to be lost, as the Rambam is going to explain later on in Halacha Yud. Ksubasameya, she's also not a besul anymore, although she's not a ba'ula, she didn't have cohabitation, but she's not a besula, so her ksuba is 100. Afilinis lamanashi besula shlema. Now, even if he gets married to her, with the stipulation that she's a bona fide, complete virgin, the nimtzis mukas eitz, comes out that she doesn't have besulim. She, because of whatever the procedure was, that she lost her the virginity, ksubasim meya. She's going to still have the ksuba of 100, meaning the chiddush in this is that we don't say, oh, it's a mekach tais, this was a mistaken acquisition, where she shouldn't deserve anything. No. Since she didn't have bia, so that's not considered as a mekach tais. In contrast, if let's say he would find out that she already had cohabitation, then she wouldn't get anything, as Rambam say later on Halacha Yud. She's not going to get the ksuba of a besula, but it's not considered that of a mekach tais, a mistaken acquisition, because she never had relations with another man. She just doesn't have the besulim, so therefore she's going to have a ksuba of 100. Now, Ketanu Ibas Gimoshonim Ulamata Shenevela. Here's where the Rambam explains what we had alluded to earlier. A girl younger than 3 years old that had cohabitation, a filibola Odom Gadol, even if it was an adult that had relations with her, Ksubasa Masayim, when she gets married, her Ksuba is going to be 200. Why? Seifa Shetachas Basula, Ksha Basula, the hymens come back like all regular girls that have the virginity. So, because even though as under 3, she had bia, but it's like putting a finger in the eye where the teardrops keep on replenishing. That's how the besulim come back. And mechen gedayla. So too, if she was an adult, shabola kotn mibes mimentes shon mulamata, but a boy younger than 9 years old had relations with her, still ksubasim asayim, her ksuba is going to be 200. Ki'ilu lo nevel kla, as if she didn't have bia at all. Why? Same thing what we say with the girl under 3 that it comes back. Shebias ben tesh shon b'yem echad. Because only a boy that's over 9 years old is his act of cohabitation qualified as a bia. Pachis mizein biyase bia. Less than that is not qualified as a bia, and therefore we still consider her as a besula, and she still has the besulum. We're just saying that the act of having bia, which removes her from being that pristine state, which makes her a bula, a boy under 9 doesn't have that capacity, and therefore she's still going to be treated as a besula to get a ksuba of 200. Now the Rambam moves on to women that the rabbis did not institute for them iksuba. Halacha dalet. Besula, a girl, a virgin, she begetis, which she's over, let's say, the minimum of 12 and a half years old, which is 6 months after becoming a nida when she brings the sign of adulthood. Aisuma, or she's blind, or islandess, or a woman that can't have children, the Rambam already explains in Perek Beis. Ksubas masai. So these girls, iksuba is 200, just like any regular besula. Now, but a deaf, mute woman or a mentally deranged woman, the rabbis did not institute for them a ksuba document at all. Now, hashaita, actually a mentally deranged woman, she doesn't even have the halach of marriage at all. Now, so on that, says, but a deaf, mute woman, although rabbinically, the rabbis did institute a halacha of her getting married, but on that, still, they did not institute for her a ksuba. Kadesh le'yimon nemolasis, so that people shouldn't hold back from marrying her. She's like, oh, she's a financial liability. I don't want to have to give her a ksuba. But if it's there's no charge over here, so okay, I'll get married. If I want to get divorced, I get divorced. I'm not going to cost me anything. And we want a chedeshes, which has a more of a handicap, and we want people to marry her, so that we didn't institute for her benefit a ksuba. Now, moreover, so based on that, k'sheim she'in l'ksuba, just like she does not have a marital dowry. So neither does he have an obligation now to feed her, because the obligation of feeding is considered as the conditions and stipulations of the ksuba. So if she doesn't have a ksuba, she doesn't get that mezainus either. And therefore, neither does she get any of the other stipulations of the ksuba, which is that he has to take it to the doctor, or redeem her if she gets taken captivity, which the Rambam explains later on in Perek Beis, all these obligations. Now, v'mkonas achereshes v'nisbakcha, let's say he marries the woman when she's deaf-mute. But then she actually gets healed. Yes, like ksuba tonight, but then she gets a ksuba, she gets the stipulation ksuba, ksuba sameya, and her ksuba, however, is going to be only 100 dinarim, simply because she was already ba'ula once they got married, and now is when the obligation starts. But now that she was healed, he's going to have the regular obligations of a ksuba on his wife. Halachei, nosa chadesha say shaita. If he marries a deaf, mute, or mentally deranged woman, v'chos le'meimana, And he writes for her a ksuba of 100 mana. So ksubas and kiyamis. So the ksuba is valid. So to speak, the Rambam says, he wants to destroy his properties. No one asked you to, but you obligated yourself, so now you're obligated in your obligation, and you have to give that amount. Halacha vav, if he's a deaf mute or mentally deranged, where the woman he marries has all her faculties intact, even if it ends up being that the deaf mute becomes healed, he becomes able to speak and to hear. The mentally deranged man becomes also sane. Their wives don't have anything on their husbands because they don't have intelligence. And their original stipulation is not a stipulation. So although they obligated themselves when they got married, that has no standing. Now, but if they want to stay married after they got healed, then yeshlin ksuba, then they have a ksuba, ksubas meya, and now that they're already bu'ulais, so their ksuba is going to be 100. Now, Vin Bezdin, now if it was the courts, Haim Shesir Acherish, they married off the deaf mute person. And they wrote for the woman, we want to make incentives, we want someone to marry this person. So they wrote a ksuba for her on his properties. Then they tell us, Kamasha Kasla Bezdin. Then she does take whatever the courts went and wrote for her, because we know he would want to, although he doesn't have das, but if he would want a maidservant to serve him, wouldn't we go and buy for him and as the courts help him out? For sure, here he's getting a wife, and he gets someone helping him in the kitchen, and also someone that's taking care of his marital needs. So for sure, that it's our responsibility, and he's obligated in what the court did for them. Now, that's regarding a cheresh. But a mentally deranged person, the courts never do such a thing to marry him off. And since the institution of the sages is not going to last, because you can't live with such a mentally deranged person, so therefore they did not institute for him, even rabbinically, that of getting married. And so regarding a minor, which generally those three are put in the same category of not having das, for a minor, they didn't make rabbinic marriage for the minor, because ultimately he's going to reach the age where he's going to be able to have regular biblical marriage, so therefore we did not institute rabbinic. Now, if that's the case, then why did the rabbis institute rabbinic marriage for a minor? One day she can be able to get married. Why, when her father passed away, she's an orphan? The rabbis made a rabbinic marriage, which that's where miyun applies, when she wants to leave that union. Why did they institute? Why did the girl live and then a boy? Oh, that says the Rambam, Kadesh la yehei minhaguba minhagi hefker, because we don't want people to treat her in an onulous type of way, because if there's no one there that's the man in her life, her father is dead and she doesn't have a husband, so then people are going to act promiscuous with her. So therefore, they instituted rabbinically a marriage for the minor. Now, the imasin is a cotton, and we don't marry off a minor boy until we check him. Like we said, there's no rabbinic marriage for the minor, so we don't marry off a young boy until we check him, that we know that he brought the signs of adulthood, and then he could go ahead and get married. Now, halacha zayin, katan afila ben tesha miyamecha. Now, regarding a minor boy, even if he's over 9 years old, which we had said before, that his bia is considered halachically like a bia, let's say he had relations with an adult woman, shenasi isha, let's say this 10-year-old boy gets married to a woman, ain lo ksuba, she doesn't get a ksuba. Again, we said there's no marriage for a minor boy, even though, so to speak, his bia is a bia. Now, vim higdol, now if he becomes an adult, vikima achash higdol, and he stays married to her after he's already an adult, then yesh leik a ksuba, then she gets the primary ksuba, that of what's coming to a person that had bia, which is going to be that, now she's already a ba'ula, so she's going to get a ksuba of a mana of 100, because at this point she's already a ba'ula. And the Gershon is Gair, who Ishtai, something applies to, if let's say there was a non-Jewish couple, that him and his wife converted, and now they're Jewish, now they want to keep Jewish law, Ksuba Samana. So the Ksuba document is going to be 100, because she's already Ba'ula too, and Shamanas Kankima, it's for that intention that he's sustaining her, maintaining her with, which is her status as already a Ba'ula, and therefore that's his obligation of 100 dinar as a Ba'ula. Now, Halacha Chester Amna moves on to related discussion regarding him wanting to diminish or make her lose her ksuba regarding a claim, what's called tainus besulim, the claim of her virginity. Says Ram Halochas, kol besulish ksubasim asayim, any virgin that her ksuba is 200, which we said most girls are, there are some exceptions like we mentioned, yesh la tainus besulim. So the husband can have what's called the claim against the haima, against the virginity, which if he comes and he claims, says, I didn't find her to be a virgin, she'd lose her whole ksuba, as the Ram is going to explain. Now, in contrast, any woman that her ksuba is only 100, half of that of besula, like if she was widowed from a marriage, where, and we said that even if she didn't even have seclusion with her husband, the husband died right after the chuppah, still we gave her halachic status like a ba'ula. So any woman that aksuba is 100, or if let's say it's a woman that the sage didn't even stood for her aksuba at all, for example, like we said, a deaf mute or mentally deranged, and he writes aksuba for her, with the presumption that she is a basula, doesn't make a difference. In latinus basulum, these women did not have a claim about virginity, because that's only to make her lose what a basula has, which is if he's paying a ksuba of 200. But the fact of what he wrote himself, or for when she's getting 100, which anyway she's getting that of bula, even if he thinks that she's a basula, then he doesn't have this rights of claiming that, oh, I didn't find her to be a virgin. Couldn't assume that. So too, if someone secludes himself with the woman that he's halachically engaged to before he does marriage, in latinus basulum, that girl, he does not have a claim of virginity, because maybe he cohabited and he forgot, and therefore he cannot make such and stake such a claim. Now halacha testaram now explains the mahi latinus basulum. What is this claim of the virginity? So this is zeshen nasi isha. So this refers to a man who marries a woman. Shechaskasa she basula, which the presumption is that she's a virgin. That was the understanding when he's getting married to her. The toin ba'im, and he claims and he says, limitzasiya basula, I didn't find her virginity. There was no hymen, which is the muscle in the genital area that's generally closed, and there, which has pockets of blood when there's the first act of B, which removes that of the basulum. Now, ushnei simanu heim lebasulum. The Rambam explains, which is very important for the claims that he's going to make, there's two signs that a girl is still a virgin. Ha'echad, first of all, is damim shesheisin mimeno, b'soif birushayin. It's the blood that drips out from her at the conclusion of the first act of cohabitation, because that was there, which is then punctured, so to speak, or pressed, that removes the blood at the end of the first act of cohabitation. V'sheini, the second sign of virginity is ha'doichik sheyimtza ba, b'birushayin b'shas tashmish. The tightness, the pressing that he finds with the male member, the first act of cohabitation during marital intimacy, that's the second sign of virginity. Now, again, the whole claim here is to make her lose her ksuba, but regarding the husband's permissibility, if she's not the wife of a kohen, that we have no problem with at all, because that would be two doubts. First of all, maybe she had the bia before the kedushin. That wouldn't be a halachic problem on him. And even if it was after the kedushin, maybe she was raped, as Ram explains this in Hilchas Yisur Bia. So the whole discussion we're having over here says, oh, she's not a besula, what happened over here, is only a concern regarding him claiming that he doesn't want to pay the full ksuba. So Rambam goes in Halacha Yod and he says, so he says, someone marries a virgin, again, that this category that we're talking about, because we're talking about referring to the halachas of ksuba, that's what comes here in this parak. The Rambam, everything has a connection, a understanding for his flow. Shiksubas Masayim, where the ksuba is 200 dinar. The Tonvam, and he claims and he says, Lematsasiya Basula, I did not find her to be a virgin. So Shoyal and so we ask her, what's going on over here? Imam, if she says, Emes hu loy matza'ani basula, it's true. Yes, he did not find me to be a basula when we had relations the first night. Nisha nafalti, I had a fall, I had an accident, vikani eitzar karka, and I hit wood or the ground. This is the concept known as mukas eight. V'hocha basulai, and the hymen, which is that muscle of the virginity, it's not here anymore. Harizu nemenes, she's believed what she's saying. V'tavzik sabas lamana, and yeah, he's not going to have to pay a ksuba of 200, because that's only if she's a basula, as we said previously, regarding if she's a mukas eight. It's not a mekach tois. He's not going to say, okay, I don't have to pay anything. It was all a sham. It's not true. She's not a bu'ula, but he's not going to have to pay that of basula. It's going to be 100 instead of 200. Now, afa pishu toin by moldo, he's claiming, he's saying, wait a second, how do I know this to be true? Shema ish ba'alayich v'en loch klum. Maybe a man had relations with you and you don't deserve anything. And it turns out you were really bu'ula and it's a mekach tois. No, we don't pay attention to his claim, because her claim is definite. She's saying this is what happened with her, and his claim is a doubt. And this was known as bari v'shema. When you have a definite and a doubtful claim, bari adif, the definite claim, is the more sound claim. Now, however, he does have a right. V'yeshloi lahachrim stam. He can make a generic cherim, which is an excommunication. Shloi bo la'ish, that to guarantee that no man had relations with her. Because it's not definite to him. In other words, he cannot require her out of his doubt that she should have to swear that it's true. But he can make a chaim in general and say, whoever has removing money from me that I'm not obligated, because he's saying over here, I don't know if I even owe 100, should have a chaim on them. And that's a takana of the ga'inim, which is brought in the riff, that whoever comes a claim with a shema, like he is, and he could make such a thing. And the Rambam in Hilchot Tamatot explains the laws of the cherem, but he could make such a cherem statement. Now, halacha yudalef, amr he, let's say she says, emes amr, it's true what he's saying. Shleim etzani besula, he didn't find me when we had the first relations, he didn't find me as a virgin, because v'ish ba'alai ba'aynas, it's true, I didn't say beforehand, but a man had raped me. Acher shenesarastila, but it was after that we already were engaged, which, that means my ksuba is 200, because when the besula is engaged, and then a man rapes her, I was already your wife when we halachically engaged. It was your mazel that caused this to happen. It was under your watch that I was raped. But although we never had relations, so you didn't know that, but we already married, which is what Kedushin is, already an Eishas Ish. And Harizin the man, she believed to say what she's saying. And her ksuba is going to be still 200, my choice, like it originally was. Now, Vimta and Vama, like, but if the husband's claiming, he's saying, how do I know? Maybe you were raped before we even got engaged. And therefore, the acquisition, the whole engagement, was on mistaken premise. And you don't deserve anything because you were not a basula. Or maybe he says, I don't know, maybe after we were engaged, maybe you actually had infidelity, you had relations with another man willingly and you weren't coerced. How do I know? So again, she's a vada and he's a shema. Hariza machim stum. So he could just make a generic cherem, a misha tain sheker. Whoever's lying over here, who is going to get this cherem, could lechayveni moment she'ini chayba, who wants to make me obligated monies that I'm not responsible for. Again, he could make a cherem to make her swear he can't, because again, it's a bari b'shema. And moreover, the woman has a cheskes aguf. She has a presumption in her body, which supports her that a woman is born as a besula, and we presume that the chazak is there as long as we would say it is, and therefore it must have been that only happened after she was engaged and that she was raped. So therefore she gets 200 and he just gets to make this chem. Now halachiyat beis. Ta'an v'amah, let's say he claims and he says, Le'me tzisi besula. I didn't find her that she was a besula. V'hiyamer, she says, Le'balai. What is he talking about? He didn't have relations with me. I'm still a besula. We didn't have any relations the night of the chasna and so on. So, okay, so this is a verification of facts. We check her, where, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, where it's debated if that's applicable today in these days, that a bu'ula, that if you put her on a barrel of wine, she's going to have the aroma coming out of her mouth because it's going through her body and conscious basula, it's closed over there. But be that as it may, we check her. We see if she's still a basula or not. Or if we could do something else. Chayzer boil b'fnei. She could go ahead and have cohabitation again in front of witnesses. Now, that doesn't mean the actual act of cohabitation, because that's forbidden to have relations in front of other people. It just means that they're secluded in front of witnesses and they prepare like a cloth beneath them when they're having relations to see if there's drops of blood after the biyam. And that will verify and tell us that she's still a basula if there's the dam basula that comes out afterwards. Now, Amra, let's say she says, Ba'alai. It's not true. We had relations. And what is he talking about? He found me a virgin like all other virgins. V'sheker who died. This guy's a liar. So we ask him and we tell him like this. What was this thing that you're saying? You're coming here to court. You're saying she's not a basula. She's saying she was. And you're saying she's not. So imama, if he says, I'm not a liar. I learned the halachas beforehand. And there's supposed to be dam basula. And there was no dam that was there. So then, so we check her family. We do DNA. Shema Elam Dom Klal. Maybe they don't have blood. There are certain families that didn't have this blood in their anatomy. Loidam Nidav, Loidam Sulam. They don't have menstrual blood. They don't have the blood of virginity. So in Nimtzu Kulin Kain, if we see all the women, we start asking around. We say, yeah, we didn't have. So Reza B'Cheskasa. So then she has the original presumptive state that she was a basula, and the fact that there's no dam, that's because that's the family type. Now, let's say loy nimtzu b'nois mishpachtekin. Let's say we don't find that none of the family, none of the other girls in the family have this of not having dam. Then we do a different check, a different test. Maybe she was really not well. Which actually dries up the moisture in her limbs. Maybe she was fasting or famine, or she wanted to get a shidduch, she was fasting. So that dries her out, and therefore there's no moisture in the body, and therefore maybe that's why there was no dam coming out. So what we do is martiva nisa, says the Rambam, we moisten her up. We take her into the bathhouse, machil nisa, and we give her to eat, mashka nisa, we give her to drink, achatavi, until she becomes healthier, more robust, and then v'tibol shenis, and then do act of cohabitation the second time. Then we'll see if blood's going to come out of that, because maybe that was just because of a physiological reason that no dam came out. Now, but let's say there's no illness, no hunger, but nothing like that. So that's what the Rambam says. This is what's known as Harizu Tainus Besul. This is what's called the claim of virginity, as the Rambam explains. The Ava Pisha Matzadechi Bez Tashmish, even if he found it that there was a pressure when he was having cohabitation with the woman. But since no blood came out, in come Besulim. That must be there's no virginity over here. There's no hymenal to have the hymenal blood. As the Rambam explains, Shekol Besula Yesh L'dam, every virgin has blood. Begatana, Begadela, whether she's young, whether she's old, Begnar, Begeres, whether she's a little girl, Naira, which is when she just became an adult, or Begeres, which is 6 months later. Elab Nehachayli, Kamesh Brown, unless there's some type of illness like we explained. So therefore, if he's saying there's no dam, that's his right to make such a claim, and he's believed, and she's not coming with any vadai taina, like we said. She's just saying that I was, but there's no dam over here. So he has the rights to stake this claim. Now, Bimama, let's say he says a different reason. Like we said from the dam, there's two simanim of virginity. Let's say he says, Bimnishalim Matsasi Deichik. I didn't find any tightness. Ela Pesach Pesuch Matsasi, famous Sugi Mesech Tiksubis. I found an open doorway, which is, that means to say that the vagina is open and there's no hymenal that's blocking it. So then Shayla Nachnei said, now regarding this, the age does make a difference. Regarding Dam, the Rambam says there's no difference. He's always going to believe with Tainus Besul. But regarding the Pesach Besuach, then we ask her how old she is. Shema Begeresi. Maybe she's already Begeres. Ah, says the Rambam, that Shereva Begeres, Ein Lan Deichik. Oh, Shema Gishim Beharba, that the most Begeres, you don't really feel so much of a tightness. Even if the first act of cohabitation, Shadegadla, she already became older. The Nisrap Evra, and her limbs already loosened, but Kol B'Saleh, and that already removed the virginity of the tightness of the muscles of the hymenal. Now, so if she's already over Begeres, that's not a claim. Not Vimloy Bagardai, but if she's not even yet a Begeres. So we tell him, and so then it is interesting why there was no tightness. That would sound like that she already had Bia already. So we tell him, Shemehi Tesa. Maybe you were at an incline, which you could avoid the besulim. Oy ba'alta banachas, so maybe you had cohabitation very slowly, which will afikul her gashta b'deichi. Therefore, you didn't feel any tightness, because if you do it very slowly, so that eases up the body and the woman calms down, and therefore that's why you didn't feel any tightness. But it doesn't really mean because the besulim weren't there. Mama, if he says loy kino, no, it's not the case. I came in strong. I went straight. So then obviously it really was open. So this is another type of claim of against that there was no virginity. For any virgin, as long as she wasn't yet a Begeres, whether she's a minor, whether she's already a Naira, whether she was healthy, whether she was ill, because any girl that's a Naira, even though she's already a Naira but not yet a Begeres, that's a virgin, the opening should be closed. So on here, even if blood came out, since we found an opening, in kam besulim, this is the Rambam Shita, there must be that there's no virginity. So he could have either claim, either that there's no dam, or either that there was no tightness, what's known as Pesach Besuach. And he has the right to make this claim, to not have to pay the ksuba of a besula. Now, halacha yud gimel. It says the Rambam, yesh goyim shahayru, there are some great Torah giants that they ruled, Shabegeres, in other words, they say the inverse of what we just said. They say that the Begeres, when she's over, let's say, 12 and a half, ain't latayin is damim, to the contrary. Then there's no more claim of bloods, because, yeah, there's no more blood coming out anymore when she reaches a certain age. But v'yesh latayin is pesach besuach, but he actually does have the claim of that he found it open. Why was it open? It should be closed. Which is the exact opposite of what we just said, to which the Rambam says, v'ain derech ha-gemara maladavazeh, the way of the gemara doesn't seem to indicate the way they're saying it. And actually was an error in their text of their gemaras. And says the Rambam, k'var bedakti al-svarim rabim ha-kadmonim, says, I already checked many different texts, and from the earlier ones, u'metzasi yashadav ha-kamashra, and I found that it's like how we explained, she'ein la-begeres il-tan dumbelvat, to the contrary. The only claim you have for an older girl is that of the claim of blood, but not for Pesach Besuach, which is the exact opposite of the girsa that those goyim had. Now that I move on, halacha yadal, regarding the belief of a claim of that regarding the besulim that they weren't there. So halacha yadal, Ram explains why does he have the right to make such a claim. Chacham him chetiknu ikk ksub le'isha. So it was the sages that they instituted the primary ksuba document for a woman, that she should get this ksuba when the marriage gets dissolved. They also entered and they said, Shakala, 20 times besum, this went into their original takana, that whoever makes the claim of that there was no virginity, and the woman denies him. So again, we have a claim this way, claim a counterclaim. Neman, that the husband is believed to make her lose her ksuba. Why? And she has to bring the proof. Loyal is not the man. The Rambam explains why. It's a presumption. No man would go through the effort of preparing a chasna, we all know what it costs, and create a loss, because if he didn't like her, he would not have put in the whole effort and made the whole chasna for nothing. He would have divorced her right away and saved himself money. And he's turning his joy into mourning. Obviously, he would never have done such a thing. And if he's making such a claim, which is to end this, obviously was because he didn't find the besulim, and therefore the chazaka is telling us that what he's saying is correct, and she would have to bring proof to counter that. Now, halacha tezvav, and that's because the husband, he's the one paying for the chasna in the way the Rambam codifies it, and therefore again he prepared all that, he wouldn't want to cause a loss. Halacha tezvav, vadmasa yeshli litain tains besul. How long does he get to make this claim about not having found besul? So it depends. In Nistuda, if they were secluded, so miyad, it has to be immediate. But he can't go ahead and make a claim at a later point in time, because once he already secluded with her, he most definitely cohabited with her. And if he was silent up until this point, most definitely she was a basula, and that's why he was quiet, and now he's upset, so he's making up some type of a rumor. He's like, oh, I'm just going to start spreading rumors about you. So if they were secluded, it has to be right away. But if they didn't seclude, it could even be 30 days later, as long as they didn't seclude, so they never had bia. And whenever it was, after a month or two or whatever, that they finally had bia, they could come the next morning and make the claim in court. Now, halacha design. All the great ones, the gainim, they ruled. This that the sages said, that he's believed, even if his wife denies him. That's all of sid ikar ksuba. There's a lamdas over here. That's only to make her lose her primary ksuba, which we said, interestingly, is a takans chachamim. And the chachamim themselves are able to say, okay, we believe the husband, because this chazak, he wouldn't go ahead and want to gain 100 dinam when he lost thousands and thousands of dal, tens of thousands of dollars for a chasna. But the additions that he promised, or which he could add on, as we had previously said, previous parak, more than what the primary ksuba is, that yeshla, that actually she does get. Because that Tosefis is not because of the Takanas Chacham, it's because he willingly obligated himself. So that's like all other halachic obligations, which you cannot remove your obligation without a definite proof. Like the Vilna Gaon says, the Ksuba is rabbinic. The Tosefis is a gift. A gift is biblical. The Chacham cannot go ahead and remove his gift. So therefore he has an obligation of still giving it. Again, unless LMK Noi de Beroi Beru, unless it's known from a clear proof, shahayse ba'ula, that she already had cohabitation, or shahayde lo'ishe ba'ula, or if she admits that she was a ba'ula, koydum she tis'ares vita'atoy, that she really had cohabitation before they were engaged, and she had misled him, and whoever gets married with the presumption that it's a ba'ula, that's going to be a mekach tais. So, lefikach, therefore, in other words, since we're saying the whole ability of her collecting is because of the document of the ksuba that he wrote for her, so regarding this, meaning this addition, which the Tosefis, which she gets to take, we said, because that Chacham cannot uproot his biblical obligation of his matana, so she's going to get that. So then, yesh leila hashbi b'nekitas chevitz, what he could make her swear by holding an object, generally a holy object, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Shavuos, you hold like a sefer Torah in your arm, and you stand and you swear. He can make her swear, k'din kala nishbam anaitlin. There's halacha, what's known as, generally, people swear to defend themselves. There are some cases where people swear and they take, which in this case, she's swearing to take, because she's coming to collect, and she's swearing. So when anyone comes to swear and collect, you can make them obligated in an oath, of which called the Shavuos HaNeitlin, which you hold a holy object and you swear on that, and then she go ahead and collect the additions that he had promised her. Which again is the case in any time, like a collector, like a lender is coming to with a document to collect something, the borrower can make them swear by holding a holy object, and here the husband is no different, he can make her swear she was a knight. Now, the ain law lahashbiyoy, now, it doesn't work the other way around. She can't make him swear, shlemitza besula, swear that I wasn't a besula. And then only then will I lose the primary ksuba. In other words, we're saying she's collecting the tesevas and she's losing the primary. So, wait, just like she has to swear with the Tosefos, maybe he should have to swear for the primary that she's losing. No, we don't say that. Krisha Chazaki, like we said before, because there's a Chazaka working for him, a presumption. No one's going to put in the effort for a meal and then cause himself to lose it. So therefore, we believe him even without an oath. Now, but Yeshla, but she does have a right. Lahachem Stam, like we said, that he had in other cases, she has a right to make a general chayrim. A Mishra Torah Nalashek, whoever's making a false claim against her, which is here she's losing a primary ksuba, because what he's saying, she doesn't have a right to make a swear, but she has a right to make a generic chayrim. Halachi Yedzayin. Now, I raise it, Shirotza Lekaima. Let's say, after this whole debacle, this whole thing, he wants to stay married with her. Achar Shevsi Deikar Ksuba, where he already made her lose the primary ksuba. Because of his claim, where he has a right to make tens psilim, and she loses it. Now, the thing is, he's not allowed to stay married to her now, even if he wants to. Like we said, let's say if she's the wife of a kohen, and the husband is claiming that he found her a ba'ula, so then she's going to be forbidden on him out of doubt. Because maybe after kedushin was the bia, and even if she was raped, she's going to be forbidden. But let's say we're talking about a Yisrael that makes the claim. So she's not forbidden on him, because like we previously said, there's two doubts. Maybe the bia was before kedushin, and even if it was after kedushin, maybe she was raped, which if a woman was raped, she's permitted to her husband. Which, that's not really applicable in today's days anyway, because we do the kedushin, the ring, by the chuppah, and no man is secluded with the kala until after the couple already consummates their marriage. So most definitely, if he would find a ba'ula, actually, she would be permitted to her husband, even if it's a kohen, because obviously this nus was when she was single, not when she was married, so she wouldn't be forbidden. But be that as it may, if he wants to stay married with her after he made her lose a ksuba, so then chayzim b'kais l'meya, he has to go ahead and rewrite for her. Now it's not going to be masayim, because she's a ba'ula, because she already had relations with her. He's going to write for her a ksuba of 100, and the reason why is lefisha asul adam lishas and mishra sha'achs b'ksuba, forbidden for a man to stay married with his wife for even one moment without a ksuba. Kamesh Bar'an, like I already explained in the previous parak in parak Yud. And therefore, again, this is like we said, it's not for Issa Beheter. This whole parak that we're discussing regarding the claims of Tanis Plum he's making was regarding the monetary obligations. He's like, hey, she's not what I thought she is. And he could be believed. Okay, now what do you want to do? If you want to stay married, so then you got to go ahead and write a new ksuba for the woman, albeit that of a mana of 100 dinar.